Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to Strength to Be Human. This is your host, Mark Anthony Rossi. Today, we're doing episode number 49. It's the first in the Writing is Fire series. I'm going to be doing this one on what is playwriting. We'll also be doing ones on poetry and nonfiction and fiction as well. But we're starting off here with playwriting. Now, let me explain here briefly to you that this isn't a how-to episode. I mean, the internet's full of that stuff. How to fix your plumbing, how to fix your doorknob, you know what I mean? How to fix your cat. I mean, I'm not into that, and I'm not interested in that. This is more about how to go about playwriting. Some of it on the structure, and some of it on the theory, and a lot of it just on the business of how to submit and what to expect and what you should look for, what you shouldn't, etc. But it'll help you if you're interested in going about into playwriting. It'd be a good primer for you. But I'm also a serious believer in that folks really can't be taught creative writing. I mean, you can teach somebody interested in some basic writing how to do a journalistic article, or even in a basic essay. You could even teach them to do a how-to article. But you really can't teach people to be a creative writer. It simply has to be in that person already. They have to have a certain drive, a certain attitude, a certain curiosity, you know, a thirst or a hunger for something out there. And that's really what helps a person become creative. You can't teach that, though. You can only kind of give some guidance to people who already have that. But if they don't, you know, you're not going to be able to teach that. I always find it curious on how they have these creative writing courses. I mean, how are you teaching anybody any of this sort of stuff? You know, you got a classroom of 30 people, maybe like five of them are really, really born to be creative writers. The rest of them, it's just another course and they're not going to do very much with it, or can do very much with it. And that's not the fault of the instructor. It's just you simply can't teach it. So hopefully people will learn that and we can gain something from here. There are things for me to teach and things for me to share with you, don't get me wrong. But you're not going to listen to the show and then suddenly, hey, I think I can write a play now. And it takes time, it takes some more vision, and it's really got something that's interested in. It's not like a smaller piece of work. It tends to be a lot more work involved. And we'll talk about that, but I just want to get that cleared up and out of the way, okay? All right, playwriting. Most of the ones that I've done are simply the short ones, the one-act plays. And these are the plays that are done anywhere between, you know, 20 minutes to a half an hour. I mean, there's its own class of playwriting called a 10-minute play. You could still call it a one act, but it's pretty much a 10-minute play, maybe 10 to 12 minutes. Those are the kind of plays that are just simply done in one scene. When you're having one act, though, it's usually a play that could be done anywhere between one and three scenes. And each scene is a development of something that's going on. It could be another period of time in the week. It could be another country, another town. Just another entirely different event in the same time period, but there are separate things that are going on that once put together, you know, makes the one-act play happen. The key thing, unlike other types of writing, is playwriting is drama, and drama is all about the exchange of dialogue. So you'll find it much more of a chore if you write short fiction on a regular basis, but you don't do a lot of dialogue in the short fiction. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, because my own short and flash fiction, absolutely almost none of it. I just don't believe in it. I don't prefer to do it that way. I have a different notion about what I want my flash fiction to be. But I know that once I move over to writing a play, it's 100% about that. So it's a complete opposite thing. And where you can get away with flash fiction or short fiction, with even just dwelling on one subject or one extended feeling, you can't do that with a play, because plays still require, whether they're short or full hour and a half play, they still require points of action, things that are going forward that move it. It's just not 25 minutes of a bunch of people talking to each other. Yeah, I like your shirt. No, I like to punch you in the face. No, I really don't like your uncle. I mean, it's not just that. Things have to actually happen. You have to make things happen. There has to be what they call conflict. And it's necessary. You'll see it in screenplays and movies. It's always some kind of conflict. It's necessary to move things forward. You can't just have a bunch of people talking all day. Who cares? You can listen to that for free. You don't have to pay for to go see it in the theater. So theater and drama and playwriting have to be about conflict. There has to be some action involved. And that's what I like about the one acts, because you can get a number of things done that you might not be able to get done in a longer piece of work, and definitely not in a fiction piece of work, which is very flat and can be very one-dimensional. Playwriting is about having that real dimension in there. There's a second and a third dimension in there. People are acting on their thoughts, on their feelings. Things are being done because of what's being said or what's been done before. So there's a lot of motion involved in that. And emotion, too, but there's a lot of motion. Things are being moved. Scenes are being done and connected together. And that's really what playwriting is all about. And it takes time to come along with all of that, because you might just have a notion of how you want something to start and end. You know, almost like a fiction piece. But in the middle, you have to have all this stuff happen to get to there, and get there in some kind of authentic and convincing manner. And that's really the heart of what playwriting is. It takes a while to get used to doing. And it sometimes can take longer to convince somebody else that this is something that you want them to produce. So let's talk a little bit about that, okay? Now, playwriting is not like other forms of writing like we talked about, but just in the same sense of the submission part of it. It's completely different because oftentimes, unlike a short fiction piece or a poem, you don't have to give somebody a synopsis or a character breakdown. Even if you wrote a fiction piece that actually has a bunch of characters in it and you're doing dialogue, that's not required. But oftentimes with playwriting, it is. So when you're submitting something, that means that before you even submit, you really need to have written down in advance what the synopsis is. And a synopsis is just a real briefing of what's going on. Yeah, this dude, he just got out of an intelligence service, and he now runs a bookstore. Some ghost girl from the past comes in the store and revs up his feelings. You know, that sort of thing. That's a synopsis of a play, okay? You have to have that written ready, because oftentimes you have to submit that. And you got to make sure that is as interesting and as accurate as your play is. Because quite frankly, when you have a theater, and let's say they want to do a string of 6 or 8 one-act plays for a festival they're running, okay? They might get 500 entries. So they're not sitting there reading 500 plays. God, I wish they would. Sometimes they might get past, you know, inaccurate synopsis or badly written one to get to a really good play. But that's just not reality. So unfortunately, if you don't do the synopsis correctly, it's not interesting, it's not accurate, they're probably never going to read your play, and you don't have to worry about it ever getting produced there. So it's real important that you have that down, okay? It's that hard at all. You don't have to be overthinking it. You don't have to be brilliant. There's some basic examples, samples that you find on the internet that you can sort of copy and get used to doing, but it's pretty easy. It's just a basic thumbnail sketch of what your play's about. That's all. Make sure you include that with it. Oftentimes, they can ask you about if you had any history in the past with anything with playwriting. If you did, you mentioned a few credits. If you didn't, no. You know, I haven't got anything produced yet. And that's it. There's no harm in that. But if they ask, you have to answer. Sometimes it's literally part of a submission form where they have all these questions. Other times, it's just simply part of the rules, and then you just simply add that into the email. Now, just about all the theaters, with the exception of a couple and a couple of contests that do this too, almost everybody takes everything by email, okay? So that makes things easy, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? The key thing is you have to understand that while most of the theaters will accept your play submission in Word doc or even in Google Doc, there are a couple that simply want it in PDF, and this is the way it is. So what I've done over the entire files of plays, every one of them, okay, is that once I'm done with it and I'm happy with it and I create, you know, it's already in doc because I do Word doc. That's what I work in. Then I convert it over to the PDF. So I literally have a file for doc and I really have a file for PDF on all the plays. It's extra work and I really wish it wouldn't, but it's easier to do that than to go around having to rush and convert one every time someone asks you for it. Because it's just more work later on. So you might as well get it out of the way. It's very important, folks, that when that's asked and that's a requirement, that's what you do. Just none of this, I didn't get around to it, or I don't know how to do it, or blah, blah, blah. You know, none of this, I'm just gave a Word doc and, you know, give you a chance anyway. If they ask for the PDF, this is what they expect, okay? Period. If you don't do that, you never hear from them again, and that'll be the end of the story. Right? You'll be deleted. So keep that in mind. If this is how they want it, and they usually have reasons for that. Oftentimes, a lot of the dramaturgs, those are the people that can be in charge of reading plays. You know, they might have programs, and they might even have some of those wider adaptive computer screens where, you know, it breaks it up into almost like a, you know, like a journalistic layout where you can see, you know, pieces and pages right on your screen there. And PDF often lends itself to that. That could be reason why they do that. It's very common. You know, I'm not telling you every time you come across a submission, this is what's going to be asked for. But I'm telling you right now, for my own submission, I'd probably say at least quarter, at least 25% of the submissions that I do are in PDF. And this is the way it is. If it says Word or PDF, then, you know, do whatever you feel is best. Whenever I see that, I'll just do my Word. But whenever it just says PDF only, that's what you got to go with. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, you're going to come across a few things here, and I'll lay them out to you, and then you just make your own decisions, you know, forthright. I'll tell you what I do, but it doesn't mean that you have to do it, but I don't mind sharing it. It's just perfect to be transparent in these sort of things. It may not always receive well by others who don't like that, but that's too bad. I'm going to do what I've done my whole life, and I'll continue to do it, what I feel is best, okay? Now, you're going to have some folks that they're simply looking for a staged reading, okay? Now, what a staged reading is, literally, they check out your play, and if they like it, then they'll literally do it in an evening or two where they just have a bunch of actors that they recruited, and they just read it on stage, and that's it. It doesn't actually get performed, okay? You have to make a choice of yourself whether this is something that you want or not, okay? And I'll give you the pros and cons to this, all right? Stage reading, all right? I don't participate in this sort of thing. Not ever. I know a few playwrights that do. They feel that if the stage reading is you know, someplace they can get to physically and listening to it and checking it out, they might see things that they can change in their play for later on when it does get performed by somebody else. So there's some merit into some playwrights wanting this. And that's all great. I find more times than not the play's too far away anyway. You know what I mean? If you're in Florida and, you know, it's being done in Oklahoma, you're not really helping yourself. Unless you're rich, it's not a good idea to be flying there and back. So that's one of the big issues. Another issue with this sort of thing is this. There are plenty of places that when they're putting out their call for plays to be performed on their stage, they'll literally say, if this has been published in a magazine or if this has been stage read by somebody, then it doesn't reflect what we want. We simply will exclude it. So you either now have a play that you can't submit anymore to places that won't allow that, that just reduces your chances even further, or you do something dumb like lie, and then eventually someone will find out. And I don't recommend that. So that's what it is in a nutshell. I mean, you think about it this way. I have over 30 plays, okay, 32. I'm finishing on number 32 right now, actually, okay? So I can afford, if I wanted to do this whole thing, to have some excluded, have some be reduced and restricted to where they could be sent for performance, because I have plenty of them. When you're just starting out, you might have one, maybe two. You really can't afford that. Really? Like half the places now won't take you just because you had a stage reading. I feel it's horribly unfair. But it doesn't really matter if it's unfair or not. What matters is that you're a human being. If you chose to do this, then you have to choose to live with the consequences. So I chose to never go that route. Never. And I never have. I've been writing plays over 25 years now. Nope. So that's the pros and the cons of that, okay? So you have to make that choice about what you want to do that or not. As long as you understand that's what you're going to have to deal with. Also understand this too. And again, I am not knocking stage reading. These are just the facts. We're adults, okay? It doesn't really count for much of anything. I mean, if you want, yeah, you could throw it on your play resume. I got this play stage read, blah, blah, June of this year, blah, blah, blah. That's all great. But it doesn't really count for anything, really. No one's going to count it as an actual produced play, you know? If you want to become a member of the Drummers Guild, you know, you have to have a play or two producing and have those credits. Stage readings don't count. There are even some contests, whether you want to pay for them or not, and we'll talk about that down the line in this show, but they have the same type of rules. You can't enter this contest if you already had the play stage read by someplace, or if it's been published by somebody. So there you have it. So to me, it doesn't seem like a good idea, and that's why I haven't done it, that I have all these restrictions on something that I've done, and I haven't done anything wrong. But nevertheless, I'm being punished to death by it. And that's really what it comes down to. That's what's happening to you with stage reading. So I just don't agree with them at all. I can't, because to me, it's just too high of a price. I mean, it's not fair to me as a writer that I have to go through that. What have I done? Why can't this play be produced by somebody just because it's been stage read by somebody else? It hasn't even been performed. I can understand now if a theater tells you, you know, we will not produce a play that's been produced already. Fine. But this is not fair. But that's what you have to tackle if you decide to go into stage reading. All right? Next thing is the publishing. Some magazines will actually want to publish your play, especially if it's a short play. Again, you're looking at the consequence of that. You're going to have both contests and other theaters that won't accept your play because it's been published. So it's something you really have to keep in mind. What I've done on a few occasions is I didn't waste my time trying to send something to get published until after the play was produced. Because after it's been produced, most places are not going to produce it again anyway. Some are, but most are not. So it don't hurt to get published anyway. Why not? To me, I'm free to do that. But before that, bad idea. But again, that's up to you to what you want to do. You just need to understand that that's what you're going to face. Now, on the ultimate purpose of submission for a play is because you want it performed. Some places will literally send you the stills of what happened on stage. They'll send you the flyers, the posters. You know what I mean? The brochure they put out to people. Some places will even send you a digital recording of the whole thing. Or they might even just put it on YouTube. Some will actually send you a disc or a videotape. I've got a few of those. It's pretty fun and exciting to get to see it. Because you're not always going to be able to get to these places. And sometimes they're willing to do that, okay? Now, keep this in mind when you're submitting. There's a few things that it's really essential for you to look for as a playwright when you're looking through the guidelines of a call for performance. First thing you're looking for is to make sure there's no fees involved. I'm against all fees. I don't care if it's a poem or a play. Don't pay them. Won't pay them. Never will. Oh, well. This is not going to happen. Many of you add money like that, you're already skewing the results against you. You can almost guarantee that they're going to pick one of their friends or somebody that has every one of their artistic privileges. Then none of them are going to be you, though. So you'd be wasting your money to do so. Plenty of places do not accept money. In fact, what's supposed to happen with plays is you get paid. It might not be a lot of money. It might just be an honorarium of $100, $400, $500. Sometimes some places will give you a little bit of royalty at the gate for a weekend or something like that. That's what's supposed to happen, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of places that will produce your play, and they'll just give you a bunch of stuff for your proof and everything, and then you have the credit of having it produced without any money. But there's also ones that do, too, okay? So there's no reason, in my opinion, to pay someplace to go someplace, all right? Don't. Now, they have various levels of fees, which is even worse. So you literally could have somebody opening up an advertisement for their call by saying, there's no fee involved here. And then when you read the description and everything, you're like, really? What's this $150 for performance space? So it's just a gimmick that you need to stay away from. So they'll tell you that there's no submission fee. They're not lying. But then if they pick your play, now you have to give them $150 for them to be able to use as part of the rental space that they're using. And quite frankly, folks, if the theater doesn't have its own performance space already that they've already taken care of, then you're not sending to a real theater group anyway. You're just wasting your time. You're probably just sucking everybody out of money. Everybody has to give them $150 for some space. That probably costs them a few hundred dollars for the weekend, and then they pocket the rest of the money. So it's not a good idea. No fees should be involved. So you're either going to have somebody looking for a submission fee when there's money involved, or a performance space fee, rent fee, whatever you want to call that. Some folks are looking for that too. Don't bother with it. It's a waste of time. Not everybody asks for this. The majority of those out there that are performing don't ask for any money at all and actually pay you, okay? As it should be. So just make sure you look for that. It's real important, all right? The second thing to look at, which to me is just as important and maybe in some instances more important, is you have some theaters, and there's two different types here. First type is that they want you to participate. What this means is that if they accept your play, you have to also accept in word as a professional that you will show up for the rehearsals to listen to the director, to see what has to be said. Questions might be answered to you from the actors just as well as everybody else involved. Stagehands could ask you stuff. What do you think about this? Blah, blah, blah. You have to be there. So, if you're in New York and you send it to the play to Alaska, unless you can really get to Alaska and back, not a good idea to even waste your time submitting then. Because if they pick you, you can't be there. If you're not there, you just waste their time and your own. So make sure you look at that. Anything kind of participation. Now, if it's something local, something that maybe takes only a couple hours of driving back and forth, then you have to make a decision whether it's worthwhile or not. I'm telling you, if it's a cool theater, they're going to give you a couple bucks, they're going to put it on for a couple days, a weekend, whatever, and it's a credit for you, especially if it's your first credit. If it's only a couple hours driving, it is well worth doing it. By then, you'll know how to get there, and then you can go for at least one of the performances as well. Some even have it where they have a question and answer sessions with the audience after that last showing. So some playwrights will go for a couple rehearsals and then they'll come back for that last showing because they want to be able to not only see the play, but also, be part of the any kind of Q&A that might be with the audience. And this is part of the requirements from the theater of a playwright. So again, if that's not something that you can do physically in terms of, getting to the place or just you don't want to do it, then it's not a playhouse for you then. And that's fine. I'm not saying anything bad otherwise about that. It's a personal choice. You just have to understand that it's also a professional requirement. Now, the second stage here on this, and this is far worse. To me, this is even worse than if someone asking you for money. You got some theater places, and it's in the rules, so it's not like anything sneaky or hidden. But they literally say, if we accept your play, we'll pay you. We'll put the whole thing on. We'll do the advertising and everything. But we're expecting you to recruit the director and to recruit the actors. So they won't do any of the staffing itself. You have to do that. Again, if you're far away, how the heck are you going to do that? Who do you even know? I mean, it's one thing to fly to Alaska. It's another thing to find Alaska and just suddenly find someone who could direct your play, stay in contact with them, and then, between them and you, get all the actors involved. So unless it's really, really a local thing and you can do this, again, that's something that you might not want to consider at all. I never have, whether it was local or not. Because quite frankly, I'm a playwright. I gave you the play. You're supposed to be handling all this stuff yourself. That's what the theater's supposed to do. You're not supposed to lend off all your jobs to the playwright. To me, that's nuts. It really is. I'm not even sure how wise that is in actual practice. I mean, how do I know if this person's going to be a good director? How do I know if they see the same vision I do? How about it would be better if they didn't see the same vision I did? Because maybe they could do a better job in interpreting what I put together over there. And again, with the actors, I'm supposed to hang around for a couple weeks for them to rehearse and make sure they're good actors. It's far too much work, and it's an unfair burden, in my opinion. Maybe some people love this whole adventure to do it, and that's great. Maybe they do. Go for it. I'm not into that. So you have to keep in mind. Keep in mind of the participation of you. Keep in mind of those that want the money. And then, of course, keep in mind of those that want you to somehow, you know, be a recruiter of everything for the play. I mean, you're practically having to get somebody to do the lighting. God almighty. So it's nuts. So those are some of the requirements you're going to see in plays now and then. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to see them all the time. But there are enough in there that you'll see them. There's a lot of places that you can find calls for plays. Here in the United States and in England and Australia. Australia has the London Playwriting site. United States, we have plenty of places. New York Playwrights is another great site where you'll see a lot of stuff from New York. It's also where you'll see a lot of those crazy requirements too. But hey, they do their part for playwrights, and you just have to make your own choices. I never get upset about it. I just look at the stuff, laugh, and I move on to someplace else. That's all you can do. Some weeks you're going to have a bunch of crazy requirements from theater houses, and other times everything's fine. But you have to make the choices, you know. And unlike poetry and unlike fiction or nonfiction, if you don't read the guidelines with those genres of writing, nothing horrible is going to happen to you. You might just get rejected, and that's that. But playwriting is different. You can't just send your stuff to all these places without reading anything and expect some good results, because you're going to get some nasty replies, or worse, you might get somebody saying, yeah, we're ready to go for that. Where's that $150 at? And you're going to really be surprised. So try to be intelligent about this. It's not hard to read it. Remember, the calls for theaters are not the same things as poetry or fiction, okay? There are hundreds, thousands of calls for poetry and fiction. I mean, any given month, I mean, if you went through all the different resources here in England and Australia, and the very few that are in New Zealand, which unfortunately seem to be mostly just for New Zealand people, but, I mean, you're looking at maybe 40 or 50 a month, if you're lucky, telling you about something that's coming out. So you're not looking at lots of calls for drama. So it shouldn't take you very much to go through them all and see which is going to be worth your while or not. Now, the same rule for submission of drama is the same rule for any other writing, okay? If it just says, we only want plays about women that are written by women, well, if you're not that person, that's not the play, then don't send it. You're going to get that. You're going to have places that only want gay plays. Just read the guidelines. There's places that say, we only want stuff about women, but we don't care if you're a woman or not when you, you know, as a playwright. And some will say, no, we want the woman. Same thing with the gay subject. Sometimes they don't care, sometimes they do. So again, you have to be careful when you read about that. You'll have plenty of places that do things just by themes. So who knows, one day there might be a theme that you wrote that it's going to fit into somebody. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. A lot of times you write a play that seems a little offbeat to you. I don't know what to do with it. You send it out a couple places, don't hear anything. One of these days you might get something with a theme and it's going to fit. That happens. And boom, you got something produced now. But it is more critical than all the other writing, I'm telling you, in terms of the guidelines. You got to follow them for all these reasons I just mentioned to you. Because if you don't, you really wasted a lot of time. And I don't mean the time of it took to send it out and get rejected. I mean, in many ways, it could be the only time you're sending that play out. I mean, so you spend a month or two, three or four months on it. You know, why throw all out that window because you couldn't spend five extra minutes? So don't hurt yourself and don't betray yourself over that kind of ignorance and neglect. Do not do that, okay? Keep in mind as well, too, that it's important for you to not just write the play. You have to have an understanding of what you're trying to get done in that play and what's going on in that play. It can't be like a poem. Oh, I don't know, man. I'm not really sure what it's about. When someone says, I really like your poem, what's it about? I'm not really sure. Yeah. When someone asks you a question, you're going to get an email sometimes from a director or a dramaturg or casting person. Somebody could be, what do you think about this? Or we want to try this. And what it's about that? Can we do? Can we broaden out this way? Can we change this? That's going to be asked. You have to say something. I wrote a play one time where it wasn't on a deliberate purpose, but it just didn't seem like it needed a female character. So the three characters in the play were male. And the theater came to me and they said, we love this play and we're going to produce this play, but we like to have the prison supervising guard to be a woman instead of a male. I understood the play enough to understand that wouldn't have been a problem for them to turn over. And some playwrights have done this before, and you can too. Is that you can, you know, if you have a play like that where you have a character that could change to the other gender just because of what they're saying is not really gender specific, you know, you can make a note in that. Some people do that. They'll make a note in, you know, their little casting director thing that, you know, because sometimes they'll ask you for like a little setup with the synopsis of the characters. You know, I got three characters, the male, female, ages, you know, that sort of thing. You could put that in there that, you know, it's male in here, but it could be female or the other way around just because the language isn't that specific. Or it could be that only a couple instances you could just simply change quickly, or they even can change themselves, that certainly make everything over to them, to the gender they want. In this case, there wasn't anything in there from that prison official that it wouldn't be female. It wouldn't be a problem at all. There wasn't anything. In fact, I think part of the terroration, they even almost like sarcastically joked about the, you know, the male prisoner could be raped because of them not cooperating with the authorities and because of the crime they committed and blah blah blah. Well, it's a horrible thing to have to hear someone say, but it could be said for a male or a woman. So it didn't have a problem. I let them do that. I let them switch it. So, and I was happy with that. Got the credit, and the play came out just as well. So that's something you can do and consider. I'm not saying when you write this play from its beginnings that this is in your mind. Oh, let me try to do something. No, just later on it can turn out that way, and that might be helpful to you. You're going to understand something, okay? And oftentimes theaters, they can be restricted in casting because just the general pool of population of what they're coming from, okay? It doesn't have to be some politics involved. There doesn't have to be any, you know, political correctness involved. I mean, I already had a theater tell me one time. I got this play published later on, produced later on. But I had a play that all the characters in it were black. And the theater, they wrote me and they said, hey, this is before email and everything, by the way, where it's a little bit more easier. Because I used to have to send these things by, you know, regular mail, so sending plays out back in the day, boy, not cheap. And it took a lot longer to get a response. But I had a theater, they tell me, listen, man, we can do all kinds of wonderful things. And we like this play a lot. But we're in a town, in a community that has very few black people. There's maybe like a handful in the college, let alone like in the drama department. The guy literally told me, I have no black actors, by the way, in my entire department of drama. And this was not a play that was, you could change the characters from black to white. It simply wasn't. They had to be black characters because there was a spiritual omen in there. The devil was in there. The devil was actually trying to use the type of racism involved with the black characters. So it was not going to work. You'd have to change the play to do that. There's no more play left. It would just be idiotic. So, you know, they literally wrote me that they had to reject it for that reason. But, you know, they wished me well, and they explained why, and I accepted it. Luckily that worked out because I got it produced off Broadway. So some weird things happened in a good way, and I'm happy about that. But that's something you're going to have to consider and think about. You might have theaters that literally say, listen, we don't have enough of this person. I haven't had this to me happen yet, but I know some other playwrights that this did happen where they said, listen, we have a lot of people in our drama department, but we have a rule that we try to get some more of the women involved. So if they don't tell you this in the guidelines, they might tell you later on if it's not in the guidelines, because sometimes people don't want to advertise this, but they might say to you, listen, you got six characters in this play, and we really like to have at least two of them female. That might be possible for you to do, or it might not be, just depending on who they are and what they, you know, what they do in the play that you wrote. Some theaters might ask for this or even demand it. And then you have to make choices about what you want to do. I tell you this, okay? Just like I changed that one character from male to female, if it doesn't harm your play, as long as you don't have any real tough sensibilities about it, just do it then. get the production credit, go back. You know, you can always try to get it someplace else produced one day. Tell them I had to make these changes because that department, and I like to try it this way now, and who knows. But those are the choices you're going to have to make now and then, and you're just going to have to consider. That's why it's very important to not just write the play and sound all neat and wonderful about it, but you really need to know what's going on in a play, because if changes are asked from you, or in some cases they literally demand it, you need to know right away. But I have to run back to the play and read it over again three times. You need to know if you can do that or not. Can your play easily survive this? Or is it a big deal? Is it a big deal to the play? Is it a big deal to you? So you're going to get those questions now and then. These are the sort of things you're never going to get from any other kind of writing. So playwriting is distinctly different for that. Another of the reason is for that. That casting issue will happen. I'm always surprised by it, but what are you going to do? It's kind of hard to fault a small town if they don't have enough of a certain ethnic group to get a play going. Or, you know, I understand how some colleges might feel under the pressure that they got to put these people in or that person in or blah, blah, blah. You got to make your own choices of, though, whether that's good for you, whether it's fair for you. Everybody has a different feeling about this, you know. Just keep in mind, you don't want to be rewriting half your play just to get a production credit either. There's a point where you're going to have to put your foot down. Got to understand your own artistic integrity, and you have to also understand that, you know, you cannot alter your play too much. Because if you do, I mean, you start losing control then. And that's not really a good thing just to get a credit. There's plenty of places out there, so just try to keep that in mind, okay? I know it's pretty daunting at times, but it's going to happen. Now, you're also going to have some instances where you're going to have directors call you, because a lot of times your phone number is on there. You know, hey, I'm going to try about this, and what do you think about that? And they might ask you to make some minute changes they think could be important, or they might want to try this direction versus that direction. Again, important to know what your play is about. You'll know from a phone call right away. Remember, somebody emails you these days, hey, what do you think about this? I mean, listen, I'm going to look into that. Give me a day or two. I'll get back to you. You could do that. And maybe you have some time to do something. Some director calls you on the phone. You don't really have a whole lot of it. I'll get back to you in 3 days. I need to think about that. I mean, you sound like an idiot. Like you don't know what the hell you're talking about. So you got to keep that in mind. They call you. I mean, you need to know what you're talking about. You need to know what your play is about. So make sure you do. That's real important, because you're going to be called now and then. Not only by the email, but maybe by the phone. You might even get Skyped. I mean, all kinds of things will happen. Right now, there's some theaters that are doing that where they literally say, we would like to have the playwright involved, but if you're too far and we still want this play, we will set up a whole Skype thing where you can watch it and then you can ask questions. They can ask questions to you. So you're going to have to put time for that. That can happen too, and I think it's great. I love the idea. So it's not a bad idea to do, and that's something for you to consider as well. You might even want to just get Skype and get it ready to go. Sometimes one of these days someone's going to ask you that. And nothing wrong with that. I think it's a wonderful tool, and that's how you really want to get in part of something. I like it when they want to ask you things, because it means that they're really thinking about your stuff, you know, versus they just want to throw it out there, you know, by the numbers and hope it works out. So consider it a real privilege and an honor, and it helps you as a writer for the next things that you might want to write. You're going to gain some insight. You're going to gain some understanding. Even when they change something, they'll ask you to change something. You'll understand why, and you can see maybe you might want to try something different next time. So I find it to be educational and artistically a good method to help for myself improve, even to this day. So definitely don't be against that. Okay, now keep in mind that just as much as there are playhouses that are going to say I don't want the play submitted if you already got it, you know, produced, you're going to find instances where you're going to see in guidelines where they'll say, we'd like you to submit the play to us, even if it's produced, as long as it wasn't produced in the state of New York, or if it wasn't produced in the state of Florida, or it was the state of Ohio, Virginia, wherever. So you're going to get some of those instances as well. So there'll be times when you got stuff that's been produced that you can get somewhere else now, because they won't hold that against you as long as it's not in that simple state. It could be someplace else or even in another country. They don't care. One of the great things about trying to get produced in Australia or England, like I was telling you before, New Zealand is hard on lots of things. They just seem to block everybody. But is because you could be produced 20 times in the United States. They don't care because they're looking for that world premiere over there in England or in Australia. So you don't have to worry about that. And then that gives you another chance to do something interesting. It's the same way, too. You get a play produced in England. Most of the times, no one's going to care in America. I mean, unless they literally say it cannot be produced anywhere, that's different. But no one says you can't ask them. I had a guideline I didn't think is as specific as much as I wanted it to be. I felt it a little vague, so I just emailed them. Unlike artistic magazines that, you know, you're lucky someone gets back to you about something. Theaters are very good about getting back to people, especially if they have some important questions. So it doesn't hurt for you to ask. No one's going to take it badly or they're going to think you're an amateur. Hey, listen, your guidelines are really not making it clear about if I got a play produced in England, if I can still get produced by you. Hasn't been produced anywhere in the United States. So unless you're against any kind of world premiere, then I like to get some clarification over here. And they'll tell you. Sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they'll correct their guidelines, so this way it does reflect better, but they're really pretty good about answering the questions. So go with that all the time. Don't send something by guesswork. Sometimes you got to do that with writing. But I'm telling you, with playwriting, it's always a bad idea. There's too much stuff at stake. It takes too long. You know what I mean? I'll give you an example. Even on a quick schedule, I mean, it could take 3-4 months for the play ever gets produced. In some cases, you could be submitting a play that might not get approved until next year, and I only starting to solicit it now. So to have something, you know, waiting around for 4 months, 6 months, a year or something, and you're still in the dark. I'm not sure about that. I sent it anyway. It's just not a very good idea. It's not a good form. Not a good way to use your time or to use the play. Which means you got plenty of time to ask them questions so you can get clarification. And it can't hurt. A lot of times they actually appreciate that more than you might realize. So do that. Ask the questions. Even when they have certain things they ask you, you know, I want to switch this. I want to try that. Okay, why is that? Ask. You're not saying no. As long as you're being professional and respectful, I like to know why. Usually it has to do with, you know, the amount of people they have or the amount of genders they have, or maybe they have some rule, you know. And that's all. So I've already had a conversation with someone about this, and they didn't take it too well. I really didn't care, and I had no problem moving on. But I like to know. I mean, if you want me to change something on a gender, you know, and this happened to be ready, and I was okay with it. But when someone else asked you to do it again, you know, they didn't want to say why. Oh, we don't have to say why. It's just up to the writer to say if they approve this or not. Why? Then it's no then. If you're not telling me why, you don't even bother to put it in the guidelines. So I'm not even prepared for it. You got to sneak it up on me now. It doesn't sound good. You know, and I don't want to be part of somebody's nonsense social experiment. I'm a writer. I'm trying to get something done over here. I'm being respectful. You know, you have to expect the same. They should have no problem telling you. This is the policy we have at this theater, and this theater is run by this college, and this is what they want us to do. They want us to have some sort of quota. They want us to do our best to get this group in, or blah, blah, blah. Fine, and then I'll make a decision from that. But I like to know why. You might not want to know why, and that's fine. That's up to you. But I prefer to know why. I think it's important to know why. Especially if they're asking you to do a bunch of things that you might not be too excited about. They should be able to reveal that to you. That's all I'm saying. And even more so, they're not even honoring you with any money or anything. You know, you just get the credit and do everything we say. And to me, that doesn't sound like a mutual exchange of creativity. That's just, you know, they're the master and you're the slave. So that's how I view it, and I'm not going for that. But that's some of the things that you're going to be facing when you're out there. Why it's important to know what your play's about. And start to, if you haven't already, try to learn the things that you're going to say yes and you're going to say no to. Whether you want to call them red lines or, you know, I won't go this far, or Maybe you even have your own philosophical or political beliefs. Fine. But try to know what they are, at least, because they're going to be pushed and challenged at times. Like I said, playwriting is not like the other writing. People take it a lot more serious. It's a lot more at stake. There's often money at stake. All kinds of things could happen. They could recommend you for regional awards. You can be recommended to other theaters who might want to also put on the play because they like what was going on. All things kind of happen like that way, but there's so many things in between that you have to try to make sure that, you know, you're going to be on the right side of things, and that, you know, your voice and your vision is respected. And if there need to be some alterations, you know, find out why and see if they can be done. I'm all for them. I'm not a person that says don't change nothing, you know, but you got to give me some insight over here. You got to give me some respect. You can't just make a demand because you're the producing, you know, entity and I'm just the writer. No, that doesn't work that way. We need to be on some equal footing. That's how I feel. And that's what bothers me sometimes, because sometimes some of these rules are highly political. They're meant to somehow create equality while they're making things for me to be unequal. Really, I'm being put down to somebody who's not a partner in this process so that you could do something that's equal. I mean, does that make any sense to you? You know, beyond hypocritical, it's just not very artistic. It's dumb. So you try to avoid some of those dumb things when you can. There's still going to be plenty of opportunities out there, you know, but you don't want to have to learn going down the line that, you know, you burnt yourself a couple of times to get a few credits, you know? Because I'm telling you right now, even if it's done between you and them and no one else in the world knows, you still know when you stepped on your own integrity and, you know what I mean? When you swallowed something you shouldn't have, or when you agreed to something that is now going to be a headache. So the more you know about who you are, the more you know about your vision, and the more you know about the play you wrote, the better you're going to be to avoid those sort of things. And if you got to turn down something, turn it down. You're going to eventually get caught up. Trust me. If someone is asking to produce your play and they just don't want to do things that you think are fair or correct, your chances of getting produced again, they're pretty high. So you don't want to give away the farm because you think no one's ever going to talk to you again, because that's not the case. If somebody wants it, I promise you, somebody else is going to want it too. It just takes a little time. All right, folks, until next time, we got to be doing one on poetry, one on fiction, and one on nonfiction in the Writing in Fire series, okay? This was Playwriting, and I want to thank you very much for joining us, and I wish you well, and until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.